This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
It's time here on RNIB Connect Radio for our first check-in of 2025 with Glasgow-based pharmacist Elizabeth Roddick. Hello, Elizabeth. Happy New Year, and how are you?
Very well, thanks, Toby. Happy New Year to you and everyone on the team.
As we start a new year, I am sure that many of us will be thinking about making New Year's resolutions and probably thinking about making resolutions around improving our health. But before we talk about those resolutions, Elizabeth, I wanted to ask you about all those coughs, colds and flu that seem to be about just now.
Yeah, Toby, I think it's important to distinguish between them. You often get a sore throat at the start of a respiratory tract infection like a cold, and that can last up to a week. About 80% of sore throats are viral. We usually suggest keeping the throat moist, taking paracetamol, and using an anti-inflammatory throat spray for pain. You can get lots of advice from your local pharmacy. Occasionally, I do come across someone who has a fever, difficulty swallowing, and at the back of the throat, I can see, as well as inflammation, these white spots. And it may be that a penicillin is required because it's a bacterial infection. Now, take flu, for example. First of all, the symptoms, acute tiredness. You're in your bed. I mean, I once had someone asking me for something for flu because they were going to a wedding. Clearly not flu. You tend to have a high temperature, aching bones, and usually a dry cough. Now, these symptoms come on very quickly, and because it's a virus, antibiotics are not usually given unless it becomes pneumonia, and that's where someone becomes really quite ill, and we're hearing about the number of people that are ending up in hospital. I think there are two messages, Toby, I want to get across. One is that antibiotics don't help viruses, and we're ending up with a lot of microbial resistance if they're used inappropriately. And the second thing is, please don't spread these coughs and colds about, particularly if you're about vulnerable people, because that's what's happening with the health service at the moment. We're almost overrun, let's say, with coughs and colds and flus. So please, you know, look after yourself and maybe keep it to yourself.
I think you said on another episode that vulnerable people should take their flu vaccinations. What if you are one of the eligible people, but you've already had the flu?
Yes, it's still worth getting the flu vaccination, but of course, please check with your health professional first. Also, some areas are mentioning shortages, so ask at your local pharmacy or look on the local authority or health board websites for information.
Now, to get back to those New Year's resolutions, some people do talk about doing a dry January. Is it worth doing, Elizabeth?
This is where, Toby, you abstained from drinking alcohol for the month of January. Now, alcohol is, of course, a toxin, and the body has to work hard to excrete it. It's your liver that does most of the work, and it's the liver that can be affected if you drink too much. People who drink to excess will get the best benefit from stopping, but everyone can see a difference by changing to non-alcoholic drinks, particularly water. Most fizzy drinks have actually far too much sugar. When you stop drinking alcohol, you have more energy, you sleep better, and your skin improves. Now, alcohol, we know, is integral in our culture, weddings, funerals, get-togethers. So the secret is moderation.
I think you're true there. There's moderation in all sorts of things. And finally, Elizabeth, what about cutting down on certain foods for New Year's resolution? Is it worth it?
Well, we're hearing more and more, Toby, about problems with processed foods. And I think everyone could try and cut these out. I mean, processed foods have little nutrition. It can also be full of chemicals to enhance the flavour, preserve and colour the food. The problem is they are addictive. I'm a believer in looking at the nutritional quality of the food. We all know the basic food requirements for our bodies, proteins, good fats, carbohydrates, vitamins, and minerals. And there's more evidence now that a Mediterranean diet is really the best for health. And that includes oily fish, olive oil, and fruit and vegetables. Now, diet needs to be a way of life. It starts with food shopping. I mean, if you've only got a box of chocolate biscuits in the house for a snack, then guess what? That's what you're going to eat. So it is, again, about maybe planning ahead and thinking about what you're eating and maybe cutting out these processed foods.
Well, it's always some really useful information and advice there. Elizabeth, if people would like to maybe contact you and ask for some advice, what's that website address where they can go and find you?
All the W's, ElizabethRoddick.com.
Well, thank you so much indeed, Elizabeth, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
It's a great pleasure, Toby.